Welcome to Blinkers Off with your hosts, Jared Welch and Aaron Halterman.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. It's Thursday, April 18th, and this is Blinkers Off. What is up, man?
What is up? Yeah, coming at you live from Plattsburgh today, man. So it's nice. It's about 30 degrees colder up here than it was in Missouri, but we're handling it. Yeah, I had a polo on earlier, but when I was in Missouri, but now a sweatshirt. So it's cold.
When did you get there?
We got here Tuesday, really late at night. Tuesday night, probably. Actually, it's Wednesday morning when we got here, about 1 a.m. So it's been, had a rest day yesterday, and then, yeah, back at it today.
Yeah, it's, let's see, what is it today? 80? Looks like it's 80 degrees today here outside. So 50, 80 here, and I think it's getting ready to storm, actually.
50-ish and rained all day today. So it's, but, you know, it's nice to be up here. It's a nice week to do it. Still a lot of work that has to be done every day on the website, but definitely not a big weekend, stuff like that. So that's nice to kind of, it's close enough to, it's not a week off, but I can kind of take it a little easier than normal.
Well, we are currently, as of 3:15 Central Time, we are 16 days, 2 hours, 44 minutes and 45 seconds. Until the Kentucky Derby. So we are, in less than 3 weeks out, Halterman. It's crazy it's kind of sneaking up on me. Honestly, a week from, or 2 weeks from today, we'll be, the eve of Kentucky, the Kentucky Oaks. So
yeah,
it's you kind of mentioned it last week, I think, that you're kind of taking this week off, so to speak, as far as going out to New York, because, after you get back, it's all hands on deck. So, I mean, we kind of thought this is kind of the last show we have that's not going to be very specific as far as, the horses we were looking to bet and kind of getting an idea of who's going to be in and out. So we kind of thought today would be fun to kind of give a best case scenario, what needs to happen for some of these horses, and good opportunity for people in the chat. If there is a horse, we're going to kind of go through the list, but if there is a horse that you guys are interested in that we haven't got to, just, shoot them out there in the chat and we'll try to talk about them. But as we get there, as we get closer, I've asked you this the last couple of weeks, are you starting to get more confident? Are you getting less confident? Are you getting, dreading it? Where are you at with some of these, as we get, less than 2 weeks out?
I haven't given it much thought, honestly, about who I'm going to pick. It kind of my new thing starting this year. It's just like when they draw the race, I'll look at it. And that's kind of how I've done the whole Derby season. And it's been a really good Derby season. So probably do the same thing. I haven't really given much thought. I guess I should also say it's pretty easy not to give it a lot of thought when you don't have that strong opinion. I'm sure if American Pharoah was in this crop, I would be ready for the Derby a little bit more than I am now, but draw it, see where they land, see how they all look when you put them all on the same page and make a decision. I mean, that's the best thing you can do. It's one of the approach I've kind of taken from now on. So many times last year you'd get into situations where, I said for 3 months I'm going to bet that horse. And then you'd get in the situation, you look at the race, you go, well, shit, I don't want to bet him, but I've already kind of committed to myself. And I just don't think that's the way to do it. So we'll see. They draw next Saturday. And then that podcast there, I can kind of give you a thought. It seems wide open on paper though, right?
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, there's really no sense, like you said, you could have a ton of thoughts and then the horse draws the rail and you're like, well, okay, that sucks. So really you don't want to get too involved, overthink it.
And to that point, you look at last year, and I know Tappa Trice didn't draw the rail, but I kind of got married to Tappa Trice too early. And when he drew that post that inside post, I knew he was going to have some trouble. But you kind of went out on public record and said, hey, I'm picking Tappa Trice. And then it draws a post and it's like, you do kind of put yourself into a corner. And I think as the years go on, you get a little bit smarter about it and you're right. And look, I mean, a lot of races, the posts don't make a huge difference. This one, it does. And so you need to just kind of be very careful about saying, hey, I'm going to definitely bet this horse, because you just don't know until they draw, and you don't know who's going to be in the race yet either. And that's the other thing. I've kind of done wasting time over horses that don't end up running.
Well, and to that point, I would ask, like, Are you the opposite way too, a little bit? Like, do you think is it scary or a little like to be like, I hate this horse, and then you're like, oh, but God, look at that post position, it's perfect. You know, like, could you almost talk yourself into him the other way a little bit?
You could talk yourself a lot of different ways this year. You know, I think in years, again, if there was an American Pharoah, Justify, a Nyquist, a California Chrome, and I probably wouldn't be sitting here saying, well, we just have to wait till race day, you know, but in a year like this, yeah, I mean, I think you can really, and this is no lie, I really couldn't tell you who I'm going to pick. Because this year it's just so wide open to me, you know? So, you get a horse like, just, you know, throw one out there, like Just Steal, let's say, and he draws perfect and it sets up perfect for him. Then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, maybe I'm going to be that guy that picks Just Steal in this race.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I mean, maybe.
I mean, that's a good opportunity here, because what we thought we would do today, we'll just get right into it, because it's not a lot of, you know, talk left here. As we, again, the next couple of weeks, we'll really be honing in on the specific kind of strategies and bets and how this thing is starting to shape out. Obviously, we're getting into that realm of horses in the bubble and horses being scratched out and things like that. So we'll start honing in a lot more with the picks. The betting Bible, the Kentucky Derby betting Bible, by the way, should be available. I'm waiting that from our designer to get that on the site, but I totally expect that to be up by tomorrow, by Friday, for the pre-sales to begin. So obviously you want to get your hands on that, on the betting Bible. That will be available this week. You'll be the first to get it. If you go ahead and purchase it, you'll just be the first to get it as soon as it comes out. The moment it comes out, you'll be in your inbox. So it's a good opportunity to get that. We'll have the Oaks card and the Derby card all included into one. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, I mean, as we get closer, expect these to be a little bit more honed in. But for now, we're going to take a look at each of the contenders of the 2024 Kentucky Derby, examine each horse, look at the clearest path to victory, basically say, okay, if this were a horse to win, this is what needs to happen. Let's go.
They're all in line. We're ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
And here comes Catching Freedom, who's charging for Flavian Pratt. They come past the 16th, last to first. It's Catching Freedom to win the Louisiana Derby.
It was Resilience, who's opening up, is up by 2.5, 3 lengths. Society Man down towards the inside. Protective. Resilience is drifting out. It's Resilience, who's clear, is up by 3 lengths now. Resilience will win the
Encino with a neck in front. The Wine Steward is second. Encino giving everything he's got. Turns back the challenge and wins the Stone Street Lexington under Florent Giroux.
It's Forever Young, though, for Japan, who comes up to the outside of Autobahn, goes past by a length. Forever Young drawing away here in the late stages, and it's another Japan domination in the UAE Derby.
It's Imagination and Stronghold, nose and nose in the Santa Anita Derby. Stronghold just in front, and Stronghold prevails under Antonio Fraser.
A 16th to go, Sierra Leone comes forward for the lead and deep stretch and wins the Toyota Bluegrass for Tyler Gaffalione.
Fierceness is putting on a show in Hallandale today. Fierceness, the real Fierceness, has showed up to South Florida, and he's crushing them in the Florida Derby. Fierceness geared down and on his way to Louisville. Fierceness authoritatively in the Florida Derby. He never had a threat.
Just about 2 weeks out from the Kentucky Derby, 150, and as the race kind of gets closer and the field obviously is getting more locked into place, we're going to take the opportunity this week to go through horse by horse and kind of explain what we feel like is their best chance for victory. And obviously this is a field that looks way, you know, pretty top heavy, where you got a few that you feel somewhat confident in running well. But at the end of the day, dude, like, even those horses still need some things to go right for them in this race in order to win. So we'll start with we'll just go through the leaderboard here as the current leaderboard that are expected to be running in the Kentucky Derby. We'll start with Sierra Leone. That is your points leader at 155 points. What needs to happen for Sierra Leone to win the Derby?
I mean, there isn't anything you can really do with him other than just drop him back, right? I mean, he's probably going to be last, second to last, third to last. He'll be in that last, you know, group of horses. And look, I mean, if you go watch Sierra Leone, it's kind of the same thing every time, isn't it? You know, you just kind of go wide, loop the field, hope you're good enough. I really think for him to win it, you know, his trip, he's just going to have to not get stopped. That's number one, you know, and I don't think he will, because I think they'll just keep him wide. And I think realistically, you know, the second thing that's going to have to happen is kind of what happened in the Bluegrass to some degree. The horses in front of them, most of them are going to need to be spinning their wheels a little bit. Now, in a normal setup, a normal race, I kind of think that might not be a statement that's that true, but in the Derby, as wide as he's going to go and as many links as he's probably going to lose on that turn, he's going to need some help up front. Horses are going to have to stop a little bit for him up front.
I mean, he's going to have horses stop up front, but he's also going to have a little, I mean, he's going to have, you know, like you're going to have to take a path in this race and just pray that you don't get stopped, right? I mean, and that's the reality of horses like him that we've seen in the past. We've seen it in some regards where, you know, you go back and you watch the tape for Rich Strike, or you watch the tape for Mind That Burn, you're like, wow, look at the way this horse got through these gaps and got, you know, it all. And then you look, there's other times you look at a horse, you're like, man, you know, we'll take charge. I mean, How many times, you know, it's like, it didn't work out. And so it's just, that's the trouble you run into with a horse like Sierra Leone.
He feels a little bit like one that's not going to be able to shoot those gaps like a Mage, you know, last year. He does kind of feel like one where it's like, well, he's going to get the trip that he gets because that's what he does. And therefore, they're going to have to slow down a little bit up front for him to catch him. Even though it is a long stretch, he's going to lose several lengths in this race most likely.
Yeah, that's the reality. Now, would you say, let's do this. Like, as far as we'll go through, as we go through them, you kind of give me like your scale of like how concerned or how important the post position is for that particular horse. For me, Sierra Leone it's pretty low, right?
Yep.
He has to have this post, this certain area. Like, to me, he's the kind of horse that's probably going to get his position on that first stretch through.
Yep. I would say he's one that could draw the rail and it wouldn't matter. I mean, he's going to do the same thing. Probably an inside post would even be better because you wouldn't have to mess with, you know, going over. You would just kind of break towards, you know, the rail and get to the rail and fall back, you know. So probably wouldn't matter for him. Again, it's just going to be a matter of can he go fast enough despite probably going to go about six wide into that final turn.
And let's just go right straight. We'll skip Fierce's for right now. We'll go to Tim after this. But since Catching Freedom is a very similar horse to Sierra Leone, and to Michael's point, like, you expect him to get nice to close his trip, but it kind of feels like you might need to roll the dice a little bit. Like, which one do you think is going to get the better trip? Because it almost feels like the odds of both those horses get really good closing trips is probably pretty rare. So which one do you think is going to get the better trip? You know, I would say that Catching Freedom, if you wanted to compare the two, he's a little bit more funky. You know, he's had more issues in the gate, has more issues coming out of the gate. He's had he kind of doesn't run straight all the time. I mean, to me, he's the one I'd be most concerned about as far as if all things are equal, as far as their talent, as far as their, you know, their trips, he's the one that I could feel like would get in more trouble than Sierra Leone.
He's a little bit more nimble of a horse, meaning I think he can go in and out of traffic, but I think you're right. Mentally, what is this horse, right? Like, if he had the Sierra Leone mentality of, like, you know, Sierra Leone seems to do everything professionally. Catching Freedom's had his issues in races. And so you look at him on the surface level as a horse and you go, well, he definitely is a horse that can weave in and out of traffic. He looks it. He has that look, but he's been goofier in hell at times. So it is kind of a conundrum about, I don't really know what he's going to do on a field of 20. The one thing I'll say about Catching Freedom and kind of his clearest path to victory, I think it is the Mage type of trip to where, you know, he came from last in the Louisiana Derby, but he really doesn't have to. He can sit closer he's not going to be on the lead, but it wouldn't shock me if he's mid-pack. So I really think his clearest path to victory is to get to the middle of the pack, and then he could save ground if he can get to the middle of the pack. So get to the middle, try to save ground as much as you can. If you got to tip him out, you got to tip him out in the final turn there, but maybe he can save a little ground early.
What do you do if you're, I mean, as far as post position for him, do you, if you had to compare the two, would you say you really need him in that mid-level, like kind of mid to outside spot for catching freedom? Because he's a horse that has had some issues out of the guest starting gate. You know, my fear with him would be very similar to what we saw with Tappa Trice, where it's like next thing you know, he's in last. And you're like, well, I mean, he better be really good here in order to get this thing done.
That is a scary thing. He doesn't break well. If you could guarantee he breaks well, getting him in like, you know, 7 through 10 would be absolutely perfect, because he could kind of sit middle, get over, get that good trip that you want. But if he doesn't break well and he drawn inside, that's going to be a big problem. And all of a sudden he's 18th instead of 8th, you know. I don't think with him it makes that much of a difference either, though, because he has shown he can come from last and win a race. And I think the pace will be decent enough in here where it's not going to matter a ton. I don't think post position is real important with him, but the break is going to be very, very critical. You want to see, if you're back and catching freedom, you want to see him in that mid-pack. You don't really, if he's next to Sierra Leone, I think Sierra Leone's going to outkick him. I think for him to beat Sierra Leone, he needs to get the jump on him early, which he could. And then, he needs to hope a couple of horses come back to him.
Well, okay. Good. You're doing really good so far, Altman, just setting me up with these little pieces. So I appreciate that. It's almost like you know what you're doing. Sure. Let's go back to the horse that we skipped. Number two, Fierceness. You talked about the horses coming back to him. I mean, that's in a nutshell, that's him, right? That's what we're going to have to find out with is our horse is going to come to him. Is he going to back up? Is he going to keep going? There's really nothing we need to say about Fierceness in terms of kind of as far as like his talent level or if ands or buts. Like, we know he's the best horse in the race from a talent perspective. Like, that's hands, like, there's no debate on that. The problem is can he get the easy lead? Can he get the in the position to win the Derby? Because he is an all or nothing type horse in this race. There's no two questions about it. He is all or nothing here.
Yep. Look, I will explain the path that wins the race. Okay. That will be very easy for me to explain his path to victory.
Yeah.
Break well. If the fractions are slow enough, get the lead. If they're going pretty fast, keep him outside away from everybody. Bury their asses on the last turn where you're three ahead and hold on. That's how he wins. That's the only way he wins. That's how he wins. If that happens, he will embarrass the other 19 horses in this race. But if is a big if. I mean, the biggest of ifs. But I really don't. A lot of people saying he needs the lead. I don't think he needs the lead. I think he needs a clean break. I think he needs no horses directly in front of him. So if they're in front of him and they're on the rail, I don't really think that matters if he's outside of them enough. And then I think just bury the other horses before that turn, that final turn, or on that final turn where you're clear and you don't have to fight, right? And I think that's the key, and that's kind of what they're going to try to do. I think if he draws outside, just make sure he breaks clean. If horses are going crazy to his inside, just keep them away from him. And if nobody's going, go take the lead, try to take a gate to wire.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is here is like, and what's so terrifying, if you are Team Fierceness and you're saying, you know what, he's the best horse, he's going to annihilate this group, it's not going to be close. The concern is your thought process could be wrong in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it could be over for you at that point. Like, with some of these horses, like Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, we'll get some more. Like, we're like, okay, maybe that wasn't the greatest start. But okay, he's got himself in a pretty good position now. But with Fierceness, it kind of feels like if he gets bodied out of the gate and then checks a couple times and all of a sudden he's in 10th.
He's done.
And he's getting kicked back and he looks like he's unhappy. It's over. Like, it's over. It's Tabe all over again. It's whatever, you know, however you want, whichever horse you want to compare to. But I just... that's the concern. Now, on the flip side, if he gets out of the gate and down the first stretch and we hit the first turn and he's, you know, Velasquez got him perfect spot and he's kind of either on the lead or stalking, he's got no kickback, nothing, then you're like, well, this could be over too. So it, gosh, I mean, he's such a weird one this year.
Yep. He's strange.
All right, let's go to Stronghold here. Stronghold, number four in Lexington, like kind of just sneaking up the list, both literally and kind of like, I mean, as far as handicapping, you're like, wow, this horse kind of continues to kind of grow on you. Has the right kind of setup as far as the way he runs his races, kind of stalks and then pounces, and he's shown that he can hold a lead or hold off horses. What are your thoughts on Stronghold? I mean, D'Amato obviously hasn't won a Derby. He's got a horse here that looks pretty promising, but we've seen it in the past that it's going to be tough for a horse like this to win.
He's going to have to sit mid pack, upper mid pack, towards the back of that first, you know, bunch. He should get a pretty clean trip depending on pose. So you just sit him towards the top of the mid pack and turn for home and you ask him to go. I mean, that's really all there is. He's pretty simple. I mean, he's one that, again, I think he can have a good trip. I think he can sit the winning trip. So you sit him in the mid pack, you ask him to go and you hope he improves. I mean, and that's the bottom line of it. He needs to improve. He did improve in the San Anita Derby. I thought it was a good race. He's still got to run better than that though to win. And that's the bottom line of it. Right. If he would have beat Muth in the San Anita Derby, you go, okay, well, he's a real strong candidate, but you know, he beat a horse that's has a tendency to kind of just run everybody close, you know? To me, it's just you're going to have to get better, but there are a lot of horses that I'm worried about trips. Stronghold, not so much. I think he'll have the trip that looks like a winner.
Curtis, I would say I'm not starting to like him. I see how someone could like him, but I could pretty much say confidently he won't be on any of my tickets. How about that?
Yeah.
If you're looking at the top five horses, he would, well, top four. Well, I'll tell you top five. He's probably the one I feel the closest to, like, okay, I'm not going to use that horse. Number five, Resilience. I don't know. I mean, you kind of like him maybe a little bit more than I do. For Bill Mott, had one that kind of came out there and won the Wood. That was a disaster of a race, but he did win the race, has 110 points coming into the race. Are the reasons behind liking him, you know, like because he's kind of up and coming?
I mean, I don't know that I like him that well. I think the thing with him is, you know, he has been improving. He improved with each start so far this season. I also think he is one that could luck out in this. And I shouldn't say luck out because he's the type of horse that he's fast, but he doesn't really seem like he has to have the lead. If you kind of ask him to sit off, I think he'll be just fine. To me, he is one that's really going to sit the trip. And then it's just going to be a matter of, is he good enough when they ask him to run? His path to victory, though, is clearer than a lot, right? Because we have seen him be able to sit off the pace or go ahead and take it if they're kind of loping along there. His post is really important. I'd love to see him get kind of that perfect, you know, 5 to 10 post. Could get a real nice stalking trip. Have a shot.
I mean, he will sit. He'll sit the right trip for sure.
Yep.
I mean, because he's shown that he can. I mean, he popped for sure, you know, in the Wood. Like, that was, as far as all numbers go, he did a similar, he kind of had a similar trip though in the Risen Star, and he kind of ran in place a little bit too. So could he be, I mean, that, and again, that's against the Derby favorite, if not second choice, right? Sierra Leone, Track Phantom, Catching Freedom, all three horses that are prominent, so to speak. And so maybe it could be that he's just not very good and he got faced a Wood that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
That's my concern with him. But as far as a pure, like, sit the trip, I think he will.
Yep.
He's kind of shown that he can. And you kind of worry about those kind of horses a little bit that are, they like have to prove it here. But maybe he can get a piece of it as kind of the horse that is up and coming. All right, let's go to Endlessly. I mean, kind of they've been back and forth. I'm sorry, I skipped Forever Young. Forever Young. This one should be fun. Forever Young, Halterman. This horse will be probably third choice in the race, maybe second choice, depending on how hard these bet. Forever Young, the Japanese horse, the hero, what needs to happen for him to win?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Well, let me back that up. He has to have a trip that all these other UAE Derby horses or horses coming overseas don't ever get, which is break clean, you know, don't fly out to the front like they did that one year. Don't break so bad you're 19th, you're never interested. Don't be Thunder Snow and buck up the stretch and not even, you know, like all these horses have done weird, weird things. And this is another one. I guess where I would want him is towards the outside and almost in a way, the fierceness like trip where maybe not on the lead, but break, get towards the outside, just try to stay away from the other horses as much as you can. If you lose a little bit of ground, you lose it. But honestly, when you think about it, if that's the trip that we're thinking is his best path to victory, which I really think it is, how much better is he going to have to be than the rest of the field? If we're saying, well, he doesn't like kickback, okay, good luck. I mean, you're gonna have to have an outside post or try to get outside as much as you can. So, and that also means, well, if you don't like kickback and you're trying to stay outside of all the other horses and you don't have that speed to kind of pass 15 of them, let's say 14 of them, are you going to just at best sit mid pack going 5-6 wide on both turns?
Yeah.
How much better are you going to have to be than everybody else? I think a lot, you know?
And he might be even more. Man, that's tough. I was going to say, maybe he's even more like trip dependent than fierceness is a little bit. Like I think he is. He's got to have so many things. Like the chat's going crazy about him. Like, it has to be outside, have no kickback, have no issues, like get the trip. Like, there's so many factors. Like, it's not only like, is it like visually clear, but like they say it, like the connections say it. He hates kickback. Like, yeah, he does not run well in kickback. And if you wanted to like say, hey, what halter and what does like, what's one thing the Kentucky Derby has that most races never have? It's like a ton of kickback.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's crazy. There's 19 other horses and especially a horse like him, unless you're going straight to the lead. Like, there's just too many factors there for me. And especially when you have the whole, well, he's never done it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Japan's never done it. So it's like, I mean, I like him. I just don't think I can bet him here.
And Jared kind of said it. And Alex talking about how he basically ran 10 furlongs in that mile and 3/16th race. That was at the UAE Derby, which, you know, and Jared says it there, though. And this is true. He's going to have, I don't know if it's 10, but he's at least going to have to be 5 lengths better than what he's shown this season. That's all things being equal, in my opinion. Right. That's if the kickbacks, he took it and it was fine. You know, he's going to have to run a better race than what we've seen from him. And that's just simple. That's not an opinion more than that, just facts. Right. So he's either gonna have to run a lot better or there's 4 or 5 that's going to have to run worse than they've ran all year. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's where it is with him. So I don't know. We had like a Derma Sotogatte. It was a horse. It was like, you could see him doing it and he couldn't. This horse, I really can't see. Maybe he is the one that does it, you know, but a lot of problems, just a lot of problems.
You know, and like Jared says, it's like,
yes. Yeah.
We've seen, you know, Mendelsohn and obviously Derma, like two really like that, you know, Derma. And that's the thing about Derma. He ran pretty good in the Derby, all things considered, but you look at it, you're like, well, look, this, and this happened and he couldn't overcome it. And I think we can all agree that Derma is a better horse. I mean, I believe that he's a better horse than Forever Young.
Yeah. And honestly, this is why I wanted to do this show like this, because it's one thing to say, I think Forever Young's really talented and I think he can do it. And that's fine. But it's another thing when you actually get to looking at, okay, how's he going to win this race? Okay. He doesn't like kickback. He's been goofy in one of his starts he was goofy. He didn't break out of the gate all that well. And then you get to thinking about it and it's like, well, how exactly is he supposed to win?
Yeah.
Go 8 wide on both turns? I mean, I don't know.
Okay, then put it in a sentence for us. How does he win the race? What happens?
He wins the race if he draws an outside post, breaks better than he has so far this year, sits away from all the horses and away from the kickback, and is 5 lengths better than the field in the stretch.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I mean, let's put it this way. If all that happens and you get to the stretch and it's time to ask the question, if all of a sudden he is the horse who has been hyped versus the horse who's been on the track, he has a chance because they've hyped this horse up to be something amazing that we have not seen from him yet.
And with all that said, that's why he's such a concern. Is all that said, you know, you just that what you just listed off of what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And he's going to be, I mean, I think pretty confidently he's going to be the like probably the third choice of the race. Yeah. Because you're, I mean, Sierra Leone and Fierceness. Fierceness is probably the favorite. Sierra Leone will be close second. And then past that, I mean, we've seen it before. These horses come over here and get a ton of hype. He's going to be bet. He'll probably be like 6 to 8 to 1.
Yeah.
And you just listed all those things off that needs to happen for him on top of being insane price. I mean, to me, it's going to be tough to kind of get there. If he's 15 to 1, that's another story. All right, let's go to Endlessly. They've been kind of back and forth on if they're going to run here, going to run the turf. As of now, here, what needs to happen for Endlessly?
Well, I mean, he's a horse that I think can weave in and out of traffic, so that's good. Because you're going to have to take him back. I mean, he's a horse that's going to come from out of it, maybe not dead last, but out of it. Just going to have to weave in and out of traffic and hope that, A, they come back to you a little bit. Any closer is going to need that, right? And, B, he likes the dirt. And if those two things happen, he takes to that surface, they come back to him a little bit, I'm confident that he can close with enough fury to have a chance. But he needs a hot pace, and he needs to enjoy the surface. Two big question marks.
By the way, Michael, you're crazy if you think Just a Touch is going to be bet harder than Forever Young.
He just got
second. He didn't even win. Catching Freedom, I wouldn't be completely surprised if Catching Freedom got – it just depends on, I guess, how he looks in the mornings and, you know, the hype's out or whatever. But he would be the one I would be – could see competing with third choice with Forever Young. But, Endlessly is interesting, right? We've seen this path. It seems like it's been a path that's becoming a little bit more accepted, I guess, is a word, like with the Jeff Ruby into the Derby.
I would be more interested if right after the Jeff Ruby, his trainer said,
yeah,
we're definitely going to the Derby. He will love the dirt. Instead, his trainer said, we'll go back to the turf. That was the end of Endlessly for the Derby for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Warren says the wrong Turfway Park horse.
Warren is right.
Warren.
Correct.
That is. All right, let's go. Let's keep going. Dornick. Halterman, what needs to happen other than all the horses fall over for Dornick to win the Kentucky Derby?
He needs to take him gate to wire, right? That's all. That's really his only chance. He needs to take him gate to wire. If he falls on an easy lead, and trust me, it can happen. I mean, people think the Derby pace is always going to be fast. Sometimes it's not. If he falls on an easy lead, he gets comfortable on the front end, he can take him gate to wire. That's his only shot.
And That's a good point and a good like a segue a little bit, because it's like, okay, if that needs to happen and if there's any other horses in this field, right, that you say that's how they win, you'll look at the number two horse here on the list, Fierceness, and that's a problem because you have that horse in the race. Not to say that he needs the lead, but just saying like he will there. You're going to have to hold off Fierceness or compete with Fierceness for the lead. If you're in this example, Dornick. But you're also going to have to hold off, you know, Track Phantom's another one, right? That you're going to have to hold, off the Sierra Leones, the Catching Freedoms, the list goes on. If you like, it's just a lot to ask for a horse like Dornick.
You're going to need luck. You're going to need Fierceness not to break well and not get up there, and maybe Track Phantom do the same and you fall in the lead. I mean, it can happen, but that's all things being equal, it's going to be tough.
All right, let's go to the aforementioned Just a Touch. Just nearly won, not really, but did get second last out. Thoughts on Just a Touch? Could he be kind of the wise guy Brad Cox horse?
Oh, for sure. He's going to be. Just a Touch, it's pretty simple. I mean, he's going to get a good trip if he breaks well. That goes without saying. You got to break well. If he breaks, I mean, he's going to get a good trip. And the thing I like about him, he can sit the resilience trip a little bit.
Yeah.
Stock the pace, doesn't have to have the lead. If three of the speed horses don't break well and he inherits the lead, that's great, right? But yeah, he'll stock the pace, and that's his path to victory is very easy. Stock the pace, make first run, and hope those closers aren't good enough and hope those speed horses come back to him and he can win it.
You know, is he one of those horses too that, you know, looking to do what I guess is starting to become more normal, right? With Mage and of course Justified winning as a not raced as a 2-year-old. This horse debuted in just late January, just a touch, and then went straight to the Gotham and Bluegrass. So just making his fourth start here in the Kentucky Derby, certainly has room to improve. But you could also make that case that that's a concern, right? Because of having such a light, you know, which has been such a factor over the years. Kind of a little bit similar, Halterman, as far as Mage, you know, in terms of just seemed like wasn't quite good enough going into the Derby. And then lo and behold, he looks like Justify in the Derby. So, you know, if Just a Touch were to win, even though I'm not a huge fan of him, I do see the path of how he could.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's go to Track Phantom. Track Phantom for Asmussen. Kind of my thoughts on Track Phantom are like, okay, he's really good. And then like, as we've gotten further down the road, it's like, yeah, I mean, he's good, but he's clearly not that good. You know, to me, he's a pace presence and not much more.
I mean, his path is like Dornock's paths. You just got to get to the front. Hopefully get out to the front, get an easy lead, and you can take him gate to wire. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's his path to victory, and it's his only path. And honestly, he is who he is, right? I mean, I just don't see a way where realistically he's fast enough to get the lead even, you know? So, but again, break, send, hope you go gate to wire. That's all you can do with him.
I got at least, I think so. I mean, he won the Derby and he won the Belmont. So I think he can get it. Okay. There's not any
data on it because none of them have tried it yet.
Yeah.
But they haven't had trouble going two turns. Now, a mile and a quarter, we'll see.
Yeah. That's a good, another one, you know, it's like sometimes he can hit the board of these quote unquote bad horses. Looking at League of Disarm are two pretty good examples.
Yeah, but they're not the same as Track Phantom because those horses could drop back and make one run at the end and pass a lot of horses that are tired. This is most likely going to be the tired horse this year versus those examples where, hey, we're the closer. I mean, you look at like a Commanding Curve. He was one of those that's like, look, it's a weird race. There's a lot of pace. I'm going to pass these horses that in a normal race, I would never pass them, but I can today because they're dog ass tired and I'm not. Track Phantom, I don't think is going to be the candidate of passing tired horses. I think he's going to be the tired horse.
Okay. Head to head bet. And then for people that don't understand, like head to, like, so all you need to do is just beat the other horse, right? Who finishes ahead of the other in the Track Phantom or Dornock?
I think Dornock will.
Okay. All right, let's go to West Saratoga, the horse that I think most people, the reference was a second ago, the best horse out of Turfway, finished second maybe, finished second in the Jeff Ruby to the horse we just mentioned, Endlessly. What are your thoughts on this horse? You know, kind of sort of a lightly raced horse for West Saratoga. As far as this year, hasn't really made a huge impact, but could be getting better at the right time. Won the Iroquois last year, the 2-year-old.
Yeah, I think, you know, his path to victory is a very simple one as well. Get him out of the gate well, obviously, and then just put him in that mid-pack to you know, front part of the mid-pack, and he'll kind of be there with Just a Touch a little bit, kind of be there, stronghold, resilience. He'll be in that group, and then, you know, you just kind of track those leaders, and then when the real running starts, he's going to have to improve by a lot, you know. That's just the simple facts of it, but it's a good story, and I do think he projects to be, you know, with an okay trip in the spot.
I mean, there's a common, like, thread here, and it's like with a lot of these horses you're going through, they're gonna basically all have to do something they haven't done yet.
Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna have to show a performance that they haven't. Like, that's the thing about this race, and you've mentioned this, you've said this for I think like months, like. And it's held true, is like the only horse in the race, and maybe there's two, I guess, with Sierra Leone, but really the only one you can say with confidence that we've seen a race prior that unequivocally can win the Derby.
Yeah.
Like, right. No doubt, no question, sign it up. They run that race, they're going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Because even Sierra Leone's best, like, that's not, I wouldn't say that's for sure going to win the Derby.
Not if Fierceness runs his best.
Well, yeah, that's true. Exactly. That's very true. Yeah. So the point I'm saying is you go through this and it's like a broken record, or it's like, well, he's going to need to do this, this, and this. And it's like, well, you look at the last, his races, you're like, well, he hasn't done that yet. He hasn't done that yet. He hasn't done that yet. I mean, you're just at, like, the only way I feel like you're going to get to some of these horses is expecting them to do something they haven't done yet.
Yep, exactly.
Speaking of, let's go to Just Steel, the horse that, the only horse out of this group that I would be super psyched to win, because it's D-Wayne.
Yeah.
With Just Steel. This is a horse that, I mean, give him shit, but he shows up pretty much every time. He's just maybe not good enough.
I think this is a horse that will run on. I think he will sit a very good middle front type of trip. I think that's his path to victory, sitting there with West Saratoga, just a touch resilience. I think Just Steel will be right kind of in that spot. He's going to have to win a race, and that's questionable for him. I think they're going to have to find some way to him to just finish a little stronger, but his path to victory is a pretty easy one. Stock the pace. Make that run. You're making a run before all the closers. Hopefully that speed, you know, backs up a bit and the closers don't get through. And there he is with a chance at least. So I do think he projects to have a pretty good trip.
I mean, here's the thing. Okay. So like the positive for him is he's consistent.
Yeah.
And the other positive is, I mean, Catching Freedom, we've talked about him, right? Like he could win. Well, he got second to him, right, in the Smarty Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of looking at Lee, you know, a little bit. That kind of
a little bit
kind of showed up, but never really seemed to be very good. Or you can even go, even though he didn't technically win, but Country House, like a horse that didn't really look like he was going to win, but then of course he got DQ'd into the win. But and then of course, like I think if Muth was in the race, which just got shut down, the fight they tried to get him in last second. Kind of tells you what they think about Muth, honestly. But also, like, if Muth was in the race, you would probably be picking him. At least I would. It'd be very close to picking him.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a horse that got second to Muth last time out. And so, yeah. I just mentioned Catching Freedom and Muth that he got second to. It's not like he's running second to dogs. He did get second to Mystic Dan when he freaked. Yeah. He had one. He basically has one no show, which was in the Rebel. But past that, I mean, he kind of brings it every time, and we know one thing about D-Wayne. He gets him right, and he knows how to have him run well in these big races. So,
yep,
it wouldn't be like he's the horse that's going to be a big prize that like I'd be interested in using on my like underneath, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
A little surprised if he won, but underneath, sure. All right, let's go to Honor Marie. Thoughts on Honor Marie? Kind of to me out of the last group here. Just seems like a horse that's like no one's talking about. Like just literally you almost forgets in the race.
Hopefully that continues because I have more interest in Honor Marie than the last five or six we talked about. I do think the path to winning might be a little bit tricky for this horse, but I think Honor Marie's another one. It's another one. We're just sitting here going, okay, we're going to go mid-pack. We're going to try to weave in and out of horses. I think this horse is nimble enough to do that. And we're going to have to get a little bit of pace, and I think we're going to be in good shape. So I think the path to victory is pretty easy. Sit mid-pack and go get them. And I don't know why people aren't talking about this horse, but that's okay. Hopefully, you know, they kind of get distracted by a little bit more of the flashier types. Mm-hmm. And this is one to me. If we get 20-1, something like that, I think this horse is definitely one that could juice up exotics. That makes sense.
I mean, look, like, you know, won the Jockey Club. Looked pretty good doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Came back off the layoff in the Risen Star, didn't, you know, had some excuses there, didn't run great, ran fifth, came back in the Louisiana Derby, looked pretty good, really. I mean, was right there. Like, I mean, you could have made a case for either one of those horses, Catching Freedom and him. But I mean, really, dude, like it just kind of feels like I'm with you a little bit with this horse. This horse is gonna be a big price, I think, here too, because there's 4, 6, 8, however many that people like more. And because he's not flashy, you know, he's not going to get, you know, he doesn't have that speed. He's going to be coming late. But I would, if you're looking at Honor Marie at 20-1 and you're looking at Catching Freedom at 4-1 or 5-1, like, I don't know. I mean, I'd have a hard time not going the other one. So, all right, let's go domestic product. Domestic product for Chad Brown. What does he need to do?
Yeah, he's going to drop back and make one run and pray that, like, 18 of the 20 don't show up with a very good race. I mean, there's so many closers in this race. He's one of the worst of the closers. He's going to drop back and make one run. You just got to hope, hey, that it totally falls apart and he weaves in and out of traffic and the other closers have bad trips.
All right, let's go. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, let's group up two here.
Okay.
Deterministic and Catalytic.
Yeah, I mean, two other ones that are just going to drop back and try to make one run. They're going to pass tired horses. But again, they're like the eighth and ninth best closers in the race. Who knows? Even knows if Deterministic's going to run. That's another problem.
Deterministic was so bad that last race, like unbelievably bad, that you almost feel like if he's got to rebound from that a little bit. Because that was awful. But yet at the same time, I mean, I don't know how you can get. Okay, I've heard a few people talking about this horse, so let's make sure we get to him.
Yeah.
Society Man and Mystic Dan. How do they win the race?
Yeah, Society Man, I would just send and hope and pray the horse gets a little bit better. Just send them and put them towards that front of that pack there. Mystic Dan is super interesting if it rains, okay? I really think on a dry track, he's probably not going to be able to get the job done. On a sloppy track, he can be a little bit tactical. He could sit that perfect trip. So for me, you know, rain or not, I think his situation is to be tactical, get towards the middle, and then hope that he fires that massive race that he was able to fire, in the Southwest. Now, the big problem is if it doesn't rain, we kind of saw what he looked like the Arkansas Derby, and it's like, yeah, it's a horse that's okay, but not great. But if you get that rain, that is one that's going to move up quite a bit. He can, I don't think he's a dead closer. He can move up if he breaks well and everything goes well. Mystic Dan can sit in the middle of that pack with at least a turning for home with a chance in a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that's kind of what I was going to say that amateur, like he's the only one of the whole group that at least could see, like he's shown a race that was freaky good. And if it were to be slop, like then you could make a case. And to further that, like, I mean, we don't have a lot to go off, right? But Fierceness certainly didn't look like he liked, although he did like on his debut. So I don't know. In the Champagne, he was awful. So, you know, if there is a horse in here that could completely freak, but I'm going to probably have to let Mystic Dan beat me. But
well, yeah, and I'm not saying I'm going to play him. I'm saying, though, but, like you said, he does – if it comes up sloppy – again, I do like that he doesn't have to be a dead closer. I do like that he can move up there and get some kind of position. But, again, he's shown that explosion going two turns. One time it was in the slop. The other time's going two turns, he hasn't been good.
All right, probably the most interesting horse, I get maybe just because he's kind of newly to the kind of added to the mix here, but Encino off of that win last weekend. What do you think of Encino out of the Lexington? I mean, that horse looked pretty damn good. You know, another pace presence, it feels like, and showed that, hey, the dirt is fine.
I like him. I mean, I really loved how he won the race. I expected him to win the Lexington, had him to win, but I liked how he won it. You know, he hadn't really been a horse that's going to take him gate to wire, right? And he broke sharp, and I go, okay, he broke sharp. Let him do his thing. Right to the lead. I thought, wow, how about this? The Weinster came up next to him, shook him off without any problem, loved the race. I think he can kind of proven he's flexible. He can get any kind of trip he wants as far as, hey, if he needs to sit mid pack, that's fine. If it's going kind of slow, he can go up there and stalk or take the lead. He's shown he can finish in all of his races. I don't know that he's going to be in the race. That's the bad part of it. It just feels like that was a Preakness prep.
Yeah. And they said that right from the start, you know?
Yeah.
If he doesn't run in the race. I mean, let's put it this way. if he runs in the Derby, if they say he's running the Derby, does that give you the confidence and the, like, hey, listen, they knew that this is either a Derby or a Preakness horse. They know that this is a good one. If they went to the Preakness, then obviously he'd be a player there, just like First Mission was going to be. If they run in the Derby, though, especially considering that it's Godolphin, like, they're not feeling forced to run horses in the Derby if they don't want to. And then Brad Cox has got options in the Derby already. If they run him, does that tell you, like, man, this horse might be loaded?
Yes. If he's in the Derby, I'm going to have him on tickets. Unless he draws some kind of terrible post, and that it is what it is, right? But it feels like, I should, just to clarify, it feels like this is what I'm going to use. I really was not, I liked him, but I wasn't overly high on him until the Battaglia. Because the Battaglia, he beat Epic Ride, who came back to run third in the Bluegrass and ran well. And I liked Epic Ride a little bit, but Encino, he went and got him that day. Yeah. It was like, okay, Epic Ride kind of ran his race and Encino just beat him. I thought, all right, I really like him. I liked him so much, I had him second in the Bluegrass, okay, behind just Sierra Leone. So I really liked him. And when they scratched, I was very concerned, like, maybe I'm too high on him. Go to the Lexington, he's not the favorite. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I've overrated this horse, but I'm playing him back here. Jared, like, every time he runs, I go, he's good, you know? And again, I'm not, this is just a stated fact. This isn't really me mouthing Turfway Park. I like Turfway Park, but Cox doesn't really send his good horses right to Turfway. And again, that's not a knock on Turfway. That's a fact of what Brad Cox does with his horses. So maybe this horse has really kind of fooled the connections a little bit as well, but I really like him. I'm pretty excited about him.
Yeah, I mean, the way he was, like, almost third choice in the race, you know, like, just not, didn't get a lot of action. And it's weird. And I think, I think Godolphin's still looking for that Derby win. But at the same time, like, what I meant by that is it's Godolphin. Like, they're not going to run a horse if they don't think the horse can win. Right. And so if they're going to run them in the race, it's not going to be like just for a chance. I mean, with Brad Cox, and like, they're going to try to win either that or the Preakness. And obviously if you run into the Derby, you think he can win. So yeah, I mean, I'm he's growing on me big time because of that last effort in the Lexington, where, and honestly, I was like, at first I was like, yeah, you know, he held on, but then you watched it back and he's like, you know, the Wine Steward ran a pretty damn good race.
Yeah.
And like, really gave him an effort there. And that's what you want to see from a horse that fights. A horse that will battle.
Well, and sorry to jump in, but he does have me a little excited, if not for this race down the road. But he battled a horse having to go get him in Epic Ride, who's, I don't think Epic Ride's a world beater, but he's good, and he did it. And then he battled another horse that was trying to come get him.
Yeah.
The Wine Steward, another one. I don't think he's a world beater, but he's good. And both times he did it in a way where you never really thought he was losing.
Right. Well, and so, like, and I kind of disagree with the dodging, because I don't think, like, you look at Two Fills last year. Was that last year?
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, whenever it was. It's like they didn't really dodge. It's like, well, that's the easiest path to get into the Derby.
Yeah.
And I don't, especially with, you know, Brad already had a horse in the Bluegrass. I didn't really view it as a negative. I just thought, hey, this is the best route to get to the Derby and or Preakness, whatever. I didn't really see it as a negative. I think Brad's gonna try to get as many horses, because that's a concern too. Like, had he ran him in the race, and he knows Sierra Leone is tough, Just a Touch, like, you know, to go, like, whoever you liked in the Bluegrass, it's like, well, he's gonna have to run third just to get the points, you know, to get into the Derby.
I took it as a bad sign when it happened. And then when I heard the connections, I took it as they want to run in the Preakness.
Yeah.
That's, I think I looked at it after I listened to what the connection said is, okay, they're looking Preakness. So is it a bad sign for the Kentucky Derby? Maybe. But is it a bad sign for the horse overall? I don't think so. So I think all it was, we want to prep him the best for the Preakness.
All right, let's go to the last one. TO password. Any thoughts on the kind of basically the invite from Japan? That's not Forever Young.
I guess they send them, right? They'll send them.
I mean, is he's the Japanese horse that they send, right?
I think so. I think you send him. I don't know a whole lot about him, I'm going to be honest with you. But to me, I think you ride him as hard as you can and you just be like, hey, we'll go to the front and see, you know? And could be another one that screws up for everybody, right? I mean, we saw that, so could be.
Do you think, just real quickly before we kind of put a bow on that one, do you think if Encino doesn't run, because that seems to be the hot horse that everyone's interested in right now, do you think if they do bypass the Derby, do you think he's like, are you like worried about anyone that wins the Derby, or like as far as the Preakness goes, like he's sitting there waiting because you also have Muth, like the Derby or the Preakness is going to be shaping up to be an insane race.
To me, if you've got Encino and you've got Muth sitting there, like you said. And we get a good winner. It doesn't have to be Fierceness, but one of those horses wins the Derby and they look good. Is the Preakness the best it's been in X amount of years?
Yeah.
Yes. Like probably the best since Justify. The Justify year was a very good Preakness because you had Justify and Good Magic, kind of that rematch, right? Yeah, it would be.
It's kind of similar to last year, only this time you have not a dog and no offense, Shoddy, National Treasure. You have Muth.
Yeah.
And you got First Mission, who, a.k.a. Encino. By the way, I did just text my Brad Cox contact, and they do believe they're going to run in the Derby with them. Good. So that's
good.
We'll see. I mean, I think the Godolphin aspect of having a horse that is available for the race, you know, that's the thing about First Mission. He didn't have the points,
You know, if you've earned your way and you're healthy and you feel like you can compete, it's hard to not run in the Derby. So I get it. And hopefully they do, because I've got interest, big interest in this horse.
Well, the post position will be interesting. There's a look at the 20 horses that are at least lined up as of now towards the Kentucky Derby. We'll see. There's how each of them win the 2024 Kentucky Derby. All right, guys, that's all the time we have. Check us out at racenews.com for our free picks and our premium selections on our products page. Get the click. The Get Racing News Premium button on the menu at racingnews.com to learn more. Again, the betting Bible for the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby, the combo will be available. I expect it to be available by tomorrow on Friday. So now is the time to go get your hands on that. If you are a premium subscriber, $70 on the low, you get all our betting Bibles absolutely for free. So if you were to get a subscription right now, not only will you get the Derby, you'll also get the Preakness thrown in there as well, I believe, right? The Preakness is...
I think so.
Would be the 18th. So, yeah, you would. I mean, because you'd come out the day before. So, yeah, you'd get two Bibles. So, I think each one's going to be, what do we do that? 40 bucks, 50 bucks. So, mm-hmm. You're saving money. If you're going to plan on buying both Bibles, you might as well just pay $70 a month on the subscription and get them both for free. So, go to racingnews.com to learn more. The Magic Mike Show, you will be live here after a while. You guys are doing what?
Yeah, we're doing Keeneland Late Pick 5. I'll be on the Magic Mike Show. We'll have a recorded announcement from Magic on that show as well. You want to be sure to check out that. Yeah, I'm going to go run and do an errand real quick, and I'll be right back for the Magic Mike Show here in about 50 minutes.
Ooh, an announcement.
Yes.
Edge of my seat. Remember, you can go follow us on Twitter at @racing_dudes, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You find all episodes of Blinkers Off by visiting our podcast page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Anywhere you listen to, we are there. Of course, go to our YouTube page. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, and that notification bell, because we have tons of Kentucky Derby content headed your way. All right, guys. That's it. Halterman, enjoy the rest of your day out in New York. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Good luck this weekend, guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Blinkers Off. Join our horse racing community at racingdudes.com and follow us on Twitter at @racing_dudes. Want to make money betting horses? Bet with the Racing Dudes.